You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Again, Han Solo with you today. I'll have you for the rest of the week, and we'll keep it moving. Again, this is opens up more time for you to be part of the conversation. It opens up more opportunity for you to be heard and what you think about all the things going on in the world of sports. Lots to get to today. Stephen A. is going to join us in a little while. Got to get into some hoops conversation with him. And because now, see, now we can talk about it. I'm big on don't touch the money. Like, I'm always about, like, let it happen first. I've learned my lesson. Remember back in the day, Rico always called me the Reaper. Because I would just start talking about things that haven't been accomplished yet. And he would tell me that I just Reapered it. And unfortunately, a lot of times that would actually come to fruition. I had, like, again, I always tried to use my powers for good. But it was just incredible how throughout my time here at this station, whenever I was hoping something good would happen, I would talk about it or something that was about to happen or could have. And then I would get excited about it. And then,
well, there it is.
Did he really just say
major disappointment?
Every time I play that, I laugh because that's DiPietro. That's, I guess, before he hit maturity. Like, does he still sound like that on the air? There's no way his voice is that high pitched anymore. Like, it's just like, hey, let's do it again. Like, I swear to God, like, you guys will all listen to that show in the morning. Obviously, DiPietro and Rothenberg, you've been hearing Rick on this station now for a long time. Listen to how I pitched
it. Well, there it is.
Did he really just say
major disappointment?
I mean, I laugh every time I hear that. Like, damn, Rico, let him go, let him drop. But now I can say it at least. The Knicks have clinched the fifth seed. They will be the fifth seed. Now, are we hanging banners? Are we celebrating? Is it like a big deal? No, of course not. It's the fifth seed. It is what it is. You're happy that you avoid the play-in, so you clinch that top six on Sunday. But by virtue of last night, and it's some crazy permutations too, a lot of different things that had to happen. Last night, basically, it's just this. If I tried to explain to you all the other things that happened, my head already was spinning. The bottom line is the Nets lost. Other things also happened that created a scenario that there was no way that the Knicks could fall out of fifth. Every tiebreaker, I think it went down to the fourth tiebreaker. It still created the Knicks would be have the advantage no matter what happens the rest of this year. So they're in fifth. The matchup is against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, Philly winning last night essentially locked that up as well. So the Cavs and the Knicks are going to meet. Now, Chetty Osman, who plays for the Cavs, last week, we were there on Friday. The Knicks won the game. After the game, Osman was one of the few people that just openly acknowledged, like, yeah, we're going to see them in a couple of weeks. Like, they know it too. They already were preparing. The Knicks were already preparing. Like, the belief was, we're going to see them again, and we're going to see them in a seven-game series. So that's coming. Now, we got to wait a little while for it. It's three games left in the regular season. And the most the Knicks can get is 49 wins. They can't hit the 50-win mark. That's a shame, but it is what it is. So 49 wins is the best they can do. So now you wonder, and I get all these fans that text me. They're like, yeah, Tibbs is probably going to play everybody 40 minutes a night, run them into the ground, all that stuff. Well, the Knicks just announced a few minutes ago that Jalen Brunson will not play tonight in Indiana. They're calling it right hand maintenance. Now, I know a lot of us can relate to right hand maintenance, but this is a different kind of thing. This is more of like the injury to his hand that he had, that he missed, I guess, two games. Like, that is the idea. It's like, let's not get it bang, like anybody hit it. No issues with it. Let's just make sure he just gets through the rest now of this season, that they don't need anything else. Let him rest. Let him get right. I'm sure he'll put in a lot of work, practice court and all that stuff. So he's not playing tonight. And if you look at who's available, even for the Pacers, who are already eliminated, I mean, there's nothing. Like, honestly. Like Tyrese Halliburton's been out. Miles Turner might not play. Chris Duarte's not playing. These are all rotation guys. Obviously, Halliburton's their all-star. So, you know, the game tonight for either team has no specific meaning, but it's also opportunity for some of the younger guys to continue to play and all that stuff. So that's, you know, that's where it is. The clinch is in. They are done. We know who the first round matchup's going to be, and it's a juicy one. I mean, this one's got sizzle. If you're the NBA, this is the one you wanted. Because if you really think about it, there's not going to be a lot. There rarely is good first round matchups. Like, in the end, it could be Sixers, Nets in the 3-6 if the Nets can hold on. Losing last night opens the door for Miami. Miami still is right there, sitting seventh. So there's still some work to do for Brooklyn before this season's over because the Heat are still right on their tail, one game down between 6 and 7. And again, the difference between 6 and 7 is a week off. It's also the difference between 6 and 7 is Brooklyn or the sixth seed plays the Sixers. With Joel Embiid last night, he put up 52. Had a monster performance against Boston. I mean, he was something special. And, you know, Doc Rivers made it pretty clear what he thought about the MVP race.
The MVP race is over. Tonight we couldn't make shots. We had guys with open shots. The man just scored half our points in the NBA game. And I'm biased. But the MVP race is over.
And if you think about it, too, so Embiid's playing out of his mind down the stretch, which is exactly what you need to do. It's the recency of your performance that the voters will think of. When the final week of the season, like right now, is usually when the votes start to come in. You send your votes in now for all the awards. So it's pretty good time for Embiid to be playing great. And on top of it, Jokic, who's a little banged up, Denver loses again last night. Mike Malone's calling out his team as their lead suddenly is down to 2 for number 1 in the West. And Jokic, you know, still puts up some numbers, only had 14 points. They lose to the Rockets. The Rockets are 32 and a half games back of Denver. 32 and a half games back. And yet they still, it was a dunkathon. I mean, it was just, they put on a show at home. It was their final home game of the season. And Mike Malone called this team soft and said, if we play like this, we're going to lose in the first round. And you know what? When you look at the West and you think about who that opponent could be, it could be the Lakers. It could be the Pelicans with maybe Zion. It could be the Timberwolves with Karl Anthony Towns, who looked pretty good against the Nets last night. You never know. Could it be the Dallas Mavericks who might hold on, who might push a little bit? You never know. So for Denver, they got to get right. But there's some scenarios, first round kind of matchups. So aside from Knicks-Cavs, which has all the juice of, you know, Donovan Mitchell, and I mean, the Knicks passed on Donovan Mitchell twice now. They passed on him twice. Remember, they passed him in the draft, and then last fall had the chance to trade for him. Actually, really go back to last spring. Had the chance to trade for him, and they passed on him again. And now they have to face him in the first round. So here's a question. I heard the guys talking about this morning, and I'll bring it up to you. 800-919-3776. Is this like you must win this series? Like, I'm not telling. Like, I heard Rico say they got to win in 7. That if they lose in 5, it's like just, it's utterly disappointment. And I kind of feel like you got to win the series, no matter what. You have to win the series. You can't go. Now, can they win the series? Yes. Can they lose a series? Yes. Normally, 4-5s are built that way. Like, think about the 4-5 in the West right now that's setting up. Suns, Warriors. Suns have KD. All the drama with that 4-5 matchup, too. Think about that. If that sticks, if that holds. And the Clippers play the Lakers tonight. And we'll get into it with Stephen A. because we have the coverage, NBA Countdown, and then we have the coverage on ESPN. And after last night's Lakers had to go to overtime to beat Utah. LeBron, who knows if he's going to be available, how he's going to feel in a back-to-back. But this is a big game for them because they could go to 6 if they get a win. They're tied with the Clippers right now. And you're only a half game back of 5 with the Warriors. And imagine that first round, Suns-Lakers. You think the league would sign up for that? LeBron and Kevin Durant going head-to-head in a playoff series? In a first-round playoff series? Sign us up. But even Suns-Warriors because of the KD-Warriors connection. So there's a lot of drama in that one as well. But because we're in New York and because it's local and because, you know, again, we love our Knicks here, it's a simple thing. Do the Knicks have to win this series? For you to say, all right, this is the season, like this has been a great season. Because if you lose to Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs, it comes back to you should have made the trade, right? It's impossible to avoid that. It's impossible to avoid any kind of conversation involving Donovan Mitchell and the ability that you could have had him. Because on the other, look, if the Cavs win the series, he's going to factor into it. It's going to be because he was unstoppable, which he was for most of Friday's game in Cleveland. He was ridiculous. Now, Brunson was more ridiculous or ridiculousler. I don't know how to put that. But you get what I'm saying. It's a conversation you cannot avoid. As much as you're going to want to downplay it, as much as you're going to want to say, no, no, it doesn't matter now, it does matter. Getting out of the first round in the playoffs is something this franchise used to do regularly in the 90s. Since the 90s, once. Yeah, I'll say it again. Since the 90s, once. That's when they beat the Celtics in 2013. 2000 was the last year the Knicks got to a conference final. That year, the 99-2000 season. Patrick's last with the Knicks. They got to the conference finals in 2000. And from that year forward, so since Patrick Ewing was moved on from the Knicks, since he was traded, they have advanced in the postseason one time in this century. And if you lose again to a player you could have gotten but didn't, chose not to, twice, how are you not talking about that? How is that not now considered a frustration? How is that not considered? How do you leave the season saying, you know what, that was a good year? So far, it's been a really good year. It's been an overachieving year. Vegas didn't see the Knicks this good. Most people didn't see the Knicks this good. Most people didn't. Jalen Brunson was a great find. Absolutely. He's been fantastic. He should win most improved player this season. The draft picks they have had late, the 25th pick in two straight years, 2021 draft, 2022 draft, Emmanuel Quickley, Quentin Grimes, you've hit. You hit on both of them. Top 10 picks, RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, kind of still aren't, you know, we're undecided. We don't know. Undecided. Usually a top 10 picks you're supposed to hit. But two 25th overall picks have hit, and that's great. But you had an opportunity to get a three-time All-Star. Didn't get him, and now you face him in the first round as you try as a franchise to advance the cause. And be a team that can win playoff rounds, advance in the playoffs. To me, house money after that. Because you know how it works. You are not the favorite. I really do think this will be a push this series with the Cavs. I can't imagine the Cavs are a high favorite in a series. They might be just because they have home court. And that's a tough place to play. They're very good at home. Cavaliers are 31-9 at home. That's tied with the most home wins of the season in the East. So they're a great home team. It's the playoffs, of course. Things do change. But they're not going to be they're not going to be overwhelmingly the favorite in a 4-5. But after you get out of the 4-5, you know what's next. It's the Milwaukee Bucks who are going to face, you know, the Raptors, the Hawks, who knows, right? Whoever's going to get the 8th seed. They'll win that series. Probably win it quickly. So if you get through what could be a lengthy series with the Cavs, and you can overwhelm, you can beat them. You can beat them. You've proven it on Friday. You can beat them. And if you do, next up are the Bucks. House money, everybody. Because out of all the teams, this is great. The Knicks have a winning record or an even record with all of the top six teams in the East. So they have played in the regular season. They have had success against all the winning teams except one, the Bucks. So like I said, that's what makes this series so important to how you judge the season. You look at the season and you look at right now 46 wins. Could go as high as 49. But even if you get 47 or 48 wins, 48 win, 47 win season for this team, with the expectations you had going in, yeah, it's definitely a success. It's a great bounce back from a year ago when you had 37 wins, disappointing year. This is the highest win percentage the Knicks have had since 2013 when they won 54 games. So you have something you haven't had a long time, which is playoff appearances, two in the last three, and winning seasons, two in the last three, which you haven't done that in a long time. You haven't done that since Melo. But now you got to look at, wait, you're in a first-round series. See, again, first-round series against the Sixers, whatever. First-round series against the Celtics, whatever. First-round series against the Bucks, whatever. But first-round series against Donovan Mitchell, who you could have gotten and wouldn't make the deal that they wanted, I feel like you got to win it. You have to win it. 800-919-3776 is the number. What do you think? Robbie and Elizabeth, start us off, Robbie.
How you doing, Alan? First-time caller. But I say you do a great job on the call filling in for Clyde.
I'll tell you what, that is like, it's the greatest experience of my, you know, again, my broadcasting career, to sit next to Mike Breen, like, you know, obviously a legend, a Hall of Famer.
He's the legend. He's a man also.
I'd say, yeah, and he makes course. It so easy. It's seriously, it's like playing two-on-two and, you know, Magic Johnson is your teammate. He just makes you look good. So it's been a great experience. Thanks a lot, Robbie.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime I'm at the game, Mike Breen always is the nicest guy.
Oh, yeah. Top shelf, no doubt.
Yeah, so I want to say I agree with you. Listen, this is absolutely a must-win series because how funny is it? All the terrible decisions, all the bad stuff that's happened with the Knicks the last 20 years, to the fact if they win this series, that the move they didn't make, that they would go on and beat Mitchell. I mean, when they didn't get Mitchell, like every most Knicks fans, they were really disappointed. Mm-hmm. But I think they have to series. I think they absolutely can win this series.
Oh, I do
and
too.
I think without Randall, listen, I'm not a Randall guy. I think a lot of the Knicks fans aren't, but I think this is a blessing in disguise that the Knicks do not have Randall, because I think if Randall was there, I don't think we would win this series. But I do think with all the momentum we have now, all the young guys, the bench is playing great. I think Cleveland's scared to play us, honestly. I think the Knicks can absolutely win this series. And if they take one in Cleveland, the first two, I think it's a wrap.
Yeah, you know what? Getting one, that's always the secret, right? It's always been the secret sauce. Thank you, Robbie. Always the secret sauce. Split the first two games. No, that's what Atlanta did. Atlanta stole game one. Stole game one and put you back to the wall. Must win game two. Got it. And then now you go to their home court and you were overwhelmed. And that was it. Series was over in a blink. So that's the same thing you try to do here. Again, it's not like there's a ton of playoff experience on that roster. You know, Donovan Mitchell had success in the bubble in the postseason, but let's look at what he did last year. Like, that Utah team was falling apart, as we know. But still, like, they did not play great in the postseason. That's a Cavs team that does it. It's a fairly young team. Not a lot of experience. You know, again, not a lot of experience. The coach, you know, like, you're not getting out coached in that series. That's not happening. So there's a lot there that you feel like all the boxes check on your side. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Knicks can't win this series, and I'm saying that, you know, the motivation from top to bottom in this franchise, the motivation is must win this series. Must. Now, obviously, in the locker room, that's how they feel because they're athletes. They're competitors. Of course it's must win. It's must win because we're in the postseason. But I'm saying from the outside, all of us on the outside that are looking in, I feel like it is that. It is get this. And that whole conversation is over. We never look back again to the decisions that they made twice to pass on this player. The ghost of Donovan Mitchell is finally exorcised if you win this series. Simple as that. Jose in Brooklyn. Jose.
Hey, how's it going, Alan?
Good.
Good. I just had a point. I'm more on the other side. I'm happy that we did clinch the playoffs and it was a great season and everything. And I kind of think this is pretty much house money at this point with where the season started. I don't look at it in the way of we need to beat the Cavs because of Donovan Mitchell, because I really don't think that he was that much of a difference maker. I know that he improved the Cavs, but to jump from 9-4 and the Knicks jump from 11-5, I just don't see the narrative of we need to win because we're going to regret this decision when it just looked like they just got one spot up on us.
No, I mean, Jose, the reality is, and thanks for the call, the reality is that's going to be the conversation. It's going to be. It's you're not avoiding it as much as you don't want to. A lot of people like to, you want to take the pressure off. They always want to take the pressure off. Man, it's the postseason. Postseason's all about pressure and how you handle it, how you respond to it. And this is going to be part of the narrative, whether you like it or not. It's just a reality. Colin in New Jersey, Colin.
As I have a question about Knicks right now in the playoffs and then your guys' thoughts on how they match up with the Cavs without Julius. Mm. And, you know, more largely, you know, let's say that Julius doesn't get healthy and it's his last Knicks game, you know, when he got injured, and they beat the Cavs. You know, what do you think that says about the Knicks, Julius, the next move, and, like, you know, through the lens of, you know, getting the star guy that all the Knicks fans want, but, you know, not sure we want to give up the house for him.
Well, Colin, I'll first say this. I would not anticipate this series beginning without Julius Randle. I don't think the injury is to the extent that he will not give it a go in the postseason. Them clinching 5 and avoiding the 7-10 play-in buys them a whole week. I mean, we're Wednesday. That injury was last Wednesday. That's already a week. And then you don't play again. Your first, so think about it. He'll have to start practicing probably no later than next Wednesday. Remember what the Knicks said? He'll be reevaluated in what? 2 weeks. And that's when they'll evaluate his ability to go on the floor and see if he can give it a go. If you know anything about Randle, now I know a lot of callers are getting this sense. A lot of fans just have a hard time appreciating Julius Randle. I understand. He has RBF. I get it. Whatever it is that you don't like about him, and recently some of the stuff that he was doing, you know, pushing and shoving teammates, staffers, and all that stuff, it's a turnoff. I get it. But if you consider what he's done this whole season, the guy produces. The guy helps you win. And you're telling me, what if we beat the Cavs without him? Let me tell you something. You're going to need him to beat the Cavs. You're going to need him. Because Jalen Brunson is going to get all the defensive attention, and that's going to cause a major problem. When you have Randle out there, you can't guard both of them, everybody. You can't do it. So let's not get into this conversation about they're better off without him. I believe that he will do whatever it takes to play in this series. And that ankle, I don't know. I don't know where he is. We'll find out in another week. But getting that extra week off is critical to his ability to come back sooner rather than later. Let's go, Raid Meadowlands. Raid?
Thank you, Han.
What's
Thank
happening?
You so much for saying that, because we are going to need Randle. And all this, I'm not a Randle guy and all that nonsense. I'm not a Randle fan, but in a 7-game series, we're going to need him to beat Cleveland. Like, the kids playing well is great. That's what we all wanted. That's what we've been waiting for. But if you're a real Knicks fan, you don't want to hear no nonsense about, I don't like this guy, I don't want... No. This is it. This is our time to actually put up or shut up. I am not a Tibbs guy at all, but right now he's got my squad headed towards the promised land. You get what I'm saying? So all I need mm-hmm. is everybody to come together and understand that this is the moment, that it's make or break. Because if we lose, it's over. Like, I can't deal with this again.
The season, yes, you leave the season with such a bitter taste when you think about the guy that knocked you out of the playoffs is the guy at the start of the season you decided not to trade for.
Exactly. It's like you're going to sit here and be like, oh, Donovan Mitchell didn't really change much. Like, are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. Are you 8-for-8 from the jump? Like, you don't want that on your team?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? Like, mm-hmm. but all I'm saying, like, the reason I called is because the last caller is saying he's not a Randle guy. It's like all that stuff's got to go out the window.
Yes.
We're in the postseason.
All hands
every
on deck.
Every single player, every single player on this team is your guy.
Yep.
If you are a Knicks fan, you're going for these guys. And that's all I got to say.
I hear you, Raid.
Let's get this.
I hear you, Raid. That's where we have to be at this point. Like, where you have to be at this point is how can we win? You can't think about anything else. How can we win? If you're a fan, that's all you're thinking. How we win in this series? They can. They know they can. They know they can beat this team. They did it 3 times this season. They know they can win. It's a matter of just getting it done. Because losing to me is not something that you can then walk out of the season and go, well, you know what? That was still a good season. Can't do that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it because this man is very busy and kind enough to join us here for a few minutes. That is, of course, the hardest working man in the business, Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A., thanks for a few minutes here. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, Alan. What's going on, man?
All right, let's talk about it. So you're on NBA Countdown tonight in L.A. You got a doubleheader, Bulls in the Bucks in the first game. The second game, though, is the one everybody's looking at because Lakers-Clippers has so many ramifications in the standings. We saw them go to overtime last night. Do you expect LeBron to play tonight?
I expect LeBron to play tonight. I'm more worried about Anthony Davis because a couple of weeks ago when they had a very meaningful game against a relatively meaningless team that is the Houston Rockets, Anthony Davis did not play that game, and they lost that game. If he had played that game, the likelihood is they would have won that game, and they'd have a half-game lead over the Clippers and the Warriors right now for the fifth seed in the Western Conference as opposed to battling for the sixth seed or hoping to avoid the play-in. And so we've got to take that into consideration as well. They both have an identical 41-38 records. Identical records of 21-18 on the road and 20-20 on their home court. So that's kind of strange. Mm. And then you got to take into account the fact that I just pointed out on First Take, LeBron James, can you do me a favor? Can you beat Ty Lue once? Ty Lue has arrived in L.A. as the head of the Clippers, as the head coach for the Clippers. Obviously, he and LeBron James won the title in Cleveland together, erasing that 52-year-old curse. You're Ty Lue. You've beaten LeBron's Lakers 10 straight times. Ty Lue is 10-0 versus the Los Angeles Lakers since he's been a head coach in Los Angeles. I mean, LeBron, can you beat him once?
Just
would
once.
Be nice.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, the importance of this game, like I can't overstate it. I understand Anthony Davis. Like, I thought the same thing. Anthony Davis, hearing him last night after the game, I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Do you want a week off or not? Because this game could decide whether you get a week off or not. And that's critical for a team exactly. like them that are banged up. So for him not to play tonight, for me, would be shocking. But it doesn't sound like you'd be surprised if he sat out tonight.
Well, listen, obviously I have the pleasure and the honor of working with the ultimate insider in this day and age, and Adrian Wojnarowski. And he and I were talking earlier this morning, and, you know, he was questioning whether or not the medical staff is going to prevent Anthony Davis from playing. And that's one of the things, in fairness to the players, that is religiously brought up to me and the various others that have been covering this league, including yourself, for decades. Mm-hmm. The players will really come up to us and make noise about the fact that it's not always them making the choice. It's the medical staff. It's the team management forcing them to sit out because they don't want them playing because they're trying to preserve them. I don't want to hear that. When you are a star in this league and your playoff life is on the line, I don't want to hear a damn thing about medical professionals. Unless you're legitimately hurt and you can't go, that's one thing. But to preserve you, hell with preservation.
Yep.
You get 5 or 6 months off a year. You certainly had days off and weeks off this season if you're Anthony Davis. You've missed more than 20% of your games already. I don't want to hear that. He needs to play tonight.
And again, it's just that simple. Yeah, and I mean, here, because all right, preserve yourself tonight or preserve yourself for a whole week next week to get yourself ready for a first-round series. Which one is more valuable? I'm with you on that. The unmistakable voice of Stephen A. Smith joining us right here on the show. All right, speaking of preserve, I don't know if you got the news, but just a few minutes ago, the Knicks announced that Jalen Brunson will not play tonight. They have a right-hand maintenance. Basically, they've clinched the fifth. There's nowhere else they can go. 3 games left in the season. You want to make sure you wrap him in bubble wrap because of how important he is. I said a few moments ago on our show that I feel like this series for the Knicks is just feels like must win. You almost have to just exercise the ghost of Donovan Mitchell and put that in your past. Because if your season ends, and this has been a really good season for this team, higher than expected, if you lose to the guy you wouldn't trade for, no matter how much you want to downplay it, you can't. That is going to be the conversation after a series if you lose it.
Well, you're 1,000% right. But first things first, let's understand that when we talk about Anthony Davis, we don't want to put Jalen Brunson in the same breath in this regard. For him or Julius Randle, let's give credit where credit is due.
Yep.
It's bona fide. And I'm not saying that Anthony Davis hasn't been injured, but fragility has been his Achilles heel because we just look at him and he's injured all the time. That has not been the case with Jalen Brunson. It certainly hasn't been the case with Julius Randle. These brothers have no desire to miss games. And so when they miss games, you should stomach it because you know that if there's a way for them to play, they're going to play 99% of the time, unless they're in a situation like they're in now. This spot has been clinched.
Right.
That's really where you're going to live. Come playoff time, you're not hurting yourself by not playing. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about everything else with Donovan Mitchell, I've already said this on the air, and I know you've seen me say it. The New York Knicks season is ruined. And it is a failure, in my mind, if Donovan Mitchell sends them home. You can lose to Boston. You can lose to Philly. You can lose to Milwaukee. But Donovan Mitchell wanted to be a New York Knick. He was expecting to be a New York Knick. I know I spoke to him personally and directly to my face. He had his bags packed. He thought he was coming to New York. And Danny Ainge is like, we got a better offer from Cleveland on the table to Leon Rose and these guys. And whether it was because of R.J. Barrett or what some of them have told me because of Grimes, they didn't want to do the deal. And my attitude is this. You bragged about accumulating all of these damn draft picks over the last few years. You're going to trade a player. Donovan Mitchell is a star. I said that all summer. I said that in the offseason. I think he has validated my proclamations because he's been doing it for years, and we know what he can do. If Donovan Mitchell sends the New York Knicks home, everything you did this season was a waste of time. I don't care what anybody says, and I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go all off season. I'm not going to let it go next season. I'm not going to let it go at all because let me tell you something. New York needs a star. I know that Jalen Brunson has played like a star, and he should have been an all-star. Julius Randle is an all-star who's a star-caliber player. Neither is Donovan Mitchell. We all know this. We all understand it, Alan. You know basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell is another level. You could have had him and Brunson. You didn't trade for Brunson. You got him in free agency. You could have had them both, and you elected not to pull the trigger and got played by Danny Ainge. I will not let this go. They better not get left. They better not get sent home by Donovan Mitchell. That's all I'm going to say.
So how do they win the series, in your mind?
Well, first of all, I think Thibodeau has to put the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands and not Julius Randle's. See, Julius Randle will give you point production. He'll give you effort. He will never cheat you. The problem is he doesn't know how to dial it back. He doesn't know how to play less than at 100 miles an hour. And that leads to mistakes. And to me, him dribbling the ball 5 times between his legs, launching 3-point shots, that ain't what's going to get it done against Cleveland. He's got to be a man. He's incredibly powerful. He's got to bring that power to the equation. He's got to be somebody that lets you know that physicality is going to rule the day. Because Cleveland's got some big boys, and they're going to be formidable on their front line, particularly defensively. I think Julius Randle has to attack the basket. He's got to get the Mobleys and the Allens of the world in foul trouble, and he has to leave Cleveland completely reliant on a Donovan Mitchell and a Darius Garland in order to beat the New York Knicks. Of course, you're going to need production from him and Jalen Brunson. R.J. Barrett's going to have to step up, and I think the Knicks' depth is going to have to be the order of the day. The Obi Toppins, the Grimes of the world, and others. They're going to have to give you something because you don't expect much from Cleveland from their bench. I think that's what's going to pull it off. That's why I'm picking the Knicks to win. But I think it's going to take 7 games, and I think they're going to have to go back to Cleveland in order to close out the series.
No,
what I suspect. They better not lose. No. They better not lose.
Wouldn't that be something? And Cleveland, one of the best teams in the East at home, too, at 31-9 now. Again, Stephen A., like, I'm with you on all those things. We all know. In the playoffs, it's still your stars are going to drive the bus. We can talk about depth, which, you know, Emmanuel Quickley, how well he's played off the bench. All that stuff is great. And they do match up better against their bench. Their bench is not as deep as the Knicks bench. But in the end, what your stars do and how much you look at Randle and you see the production that he puts up. And he's going to have the ankle thing. Will he be 100%? But he'll fight through because, as you mentioned earlier, that's a guy that doesn't sit out games. He will be available game one. But he is not great in clutch. And again, in the postseason, it's all about your stars and what they do in clutch. And that's Brunson. And that's why getting him was so valuable.
Alan, listen, knowing basketball the way that you do, it's time that we take a moment to define what stars, true stars, and superstars are in the game of basketball. This time of year, everyone knows who's going to do what.
Yep.
What the coaches are going to do schematically. What the game plan is, etc. There are no surprises. This is the difference. The stars are the ones that you can give the ball to. It doesn't matter what anybody's doing. Here's the ball. Take me there.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's what stars are. Everybody knows it's coming to you. Everybody knows you're the guy. Everybody knows you're the priority. We have to stop you. And they can't do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Donovan Mitchell is that kind of talent. Somebody on the Knicks need to show me they can be that kind of talent. That's what this comes down to.
That probably will decide the series. Stephen A., one more thing, because I just want to ask you, after what Doc said last night, MVP race is over. The way Joel Embiid played last night with 52 points, and Jokic and the Nuggets have really tailed off at the end of this season. Do you feel like it's over too? Is this Embiid's to win?
I believe it. I have a vote. He's getting my vote. Jokic, I don't believe, really, really wants it. I think the noise about him potentially winning a third consecutive league MVP honor but not getting to the NBA Finals and stuff like that, I think his priority is the postseason. Not to say that he wasn't hurt, because I know that he was, but I think he deprioritized just the emphasis on winning a third consecutive MVP. I think that Embiid has been a monster all season. He was clearly that way last night in his 52-point performance. He's leading the league in scoring at 33 a game. He's got 5 50-point games this season. When you look at centers, Kareem had 10 in his career. Wilt Chamberlain had 118 in his career. We get all of that. But when you think about Embiid, I think that he is one of the greatest big men the game of basketball has ever seen. And he has never been to a conference finals, nor has he ever won a league MVP. He's got to make some noise. I think that he's done it in the regular season this year. He is worthy of that pick. I understand that Jokic has better numbers offensively other than points per game, got a better true shooting percentage by 5 points, got a better win share, all of this other stuff. I don't give a damn about that. He is not the defensive player that Joel Embiid is. He is not the offensive scoring machine that Joel Embiid is. And the Sixers with Milwaukee and Boston, as far as I'm concerned, because the West has been so haphazard, has played in a tougher conference. Embiid has answered the call. He doesn't want to be a runner-up for league MVP for the third consecutive year, joining only Larry Bird in that category. I think he's earned it. I think he's played like it. And I think that he's a person that is going to show it come the postseason as well, because we're not going to know who the MVP is through the first round.
Yeah.
So I think that Embiid is going to go out there and he's going to show out. And I think that what he's done in the regular season is worthy of it, regardless of what Giannis and Jokic has done, which is exceptional. I think this year, Joel Embiid deserves league MVP.
Yeah, it feels like it feels like it's his time. The No Mercy podcast, Straight Shooter, the book that's out, First Take, of course, and tonight, NBA Countdown as well. Hardest working man in the business. Stephen A., you're the best. Thanks so much for giving me a few minutes here. All the best.
Thanks, Alan. No problem, buddy. Take care.
All right. Again, you heard what he said. I mean, I said it earlier. He said the same exact thing. We are on the same page on this one. This first round series, now that it's set, Knicks and the Cavs, it is about winning. And no one says they can't. In fact, Stephen A. said he's picking them. I'm picking them as well. I think they can win this series. I know they can win this series. But I also know that they know they have to win this series.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
A little solo today. Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. And you know what this is about. Spike in St. Pete. Spike, how we doing?
I'm doing great. And first of all, housekeeping. You did a wonderful job with Mike Greenberg. On a personal note, congratulations to your son, Zach. I just see that big-ass grin on your face. I can't imagine how you felt, man. I can't. All the driving, all the motels, and I don't know what else to say, but I'm proud of you. I'm proud of him. So I hope everything goes forward, what I'm anticipating in his life, and you're going to have a beautiful 4 years. So I'll leave it at that.
I'm excited for it, yeah. Very exciting time, but also, you know, bittersweet. As of anybody that's been a travel hockey parent, you know, it's been 12 years, you know, where, you know, of a lot of, like you just said, a lot of the road, a lot of the hotels, a lot of just a lot of hoping, a lot of anxiety. And having it end in a championship like that in the junior level, and beautiful. Then some of the things that, you know, we're kicking around right now college-wise and considering are very exciting. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know you do, and I'm grinning too, and I'm real happy for you. But last thing on that, real fast, those moments with them, good, bad, or indifferent, are priceless, and you have them for you for the rest of your life. So
don't get me emotional. Don't get me emotional.
You work your ass off. Okay. I said to Michael the other day. I love talking hoops on the station. You know it, and you guys are great listeners. You allow me a platform, so I'll be real quick. Look, I don't get it with Tibbs. I said to Michael, and he says, look, you're on the risk of injury. Why was Jalen Brunson in the game with 1:45 to go, and the game was pretty much cinched up? I understand 1:45, but that's when he got hurt again, because Breen said it's his left hand, and then he corrected himself and said it was his right hand. And Michael, adroitly said, because he covered the Knicks, and he knows hoops, he loves hoops besides baseball, he said, you run the risk of injury, and here it is, and I ain't happy.
He's not hurt. I'll tell you that. This is just rest, right? It's just rest. He's not hurt. I can tell you that. But and
he got beat again, though.
Well, but he was fine. He was fine. I think he was trying to get a foul, but he's not hurt. Okay, it's maintenance. It's not anything more than that. They're calling it maintenance, which is their way of saying he's just sitting out because this game doesn't matter. We've got the fifth seed locked up. There's no reason to play him at this point. So honestly, he's not hurt. Now, why was he in the game? Because it's conditioning. Like he wants to stay and play. Like that game was already done. It was locked up. It was. But you also got to get him, his minutes. You got to build him up as well. So anyways,
okay.
He's not hurt, though. This is a maintenance thing. This is all about just, this is load management. But none of them want to use that phrase. You heard Stephen A. say it, too. These guys aren't built like that. So it's not it's load management, but they don't want to call it that. So it's essentially, remember this hand injury that he dealt with? Yeah, we want to just protect him. That's all.
Yeah, last prediction. At the end of the game, I'm going with the Knicks if what you said is true, meaning the injury to Jalen, who's been brilliant beyond imagination. But I'm going to tell you that what bothers me is that the best player on the court, unequivocally, is Donovan Mitchell at the end of the game. And he's got some Dame Lillard killer instinct in him. Mm-hmm. So I would be very careful, and I don't know if we could out-rebound. Cleveland's the number one defensive team in the league, and they got right up there with us. We've been a great rebounding and low-turnover team for most of the year. So the bench will make the difference, and the combination of Hart, who's a godsend, and Grimes looks like the best shooter on the team, coming into his own, two-way player. Hart and Grimes are not that much different, Alan, except Grimes looks for his offense. Hart takes whatever they give him. What a great pickup. So, again, enjoy your family, man. Wipe the smile off your face.
Thank you, Spike. Appreciate it. God bless, as always. Look, I Donovan Mitchell is arguably the most talented player that will be in that series. But I will say that, and I love the guy. I hate doing this because I really like him, and I want him to be a Knick. You all know that. Everybody, I'm not going to try to hide and act like, it's better. I'm never going to say they're better off without him because he's such a talent. But when it's like if I was playing against my best friend, I got to find your weakness and exploit it. And I will say this. Put that dude on an island and make him guard. Watch what happens. He does not defend well. He doesn't. He's a poor defender. He gets away with it because of how that team is built. When Okoro's healthy, he's a really good wing defender. And then you got the two giants in Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. So you got that. So there's plenty of protection that you can protect him. Much like, by the way, you got to protect Jalen Brunson, who's at 6'1". He's not a great defender. He's a great positional defender, very much like Jason Kidd. He's not going to be quick laterally. He has a hard time keeping guys in front. He gets swallowed up in screens. That happens to him. But positionally, never out of position. So you got to take advantage of where you can. And that's a matchup I would keep an eye on, is how they can find ways to get Donovan Mitchell to have to defend, just to take some, drain the battery a little bit, get him a foul trouble, whatever you can do. You got to figure out that stuff. The matchups are all there. It's going to be really interesting and a really fun series and a dramatic one and an emotional one and an anxious one and all the things that you love about the postseason. But guess what? We can talk about it because you're officially in the postseason. We have a series and we still have like a week and a half before we can even start seeing games yet. But we'll be talking about it the whole way and we'll talk about it with you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.